Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 13, Madhya Kanda. This chapter is called Deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. And we're continuing from our Mayapur classes here in Mumbai, in Juhu Beach. And at this point, Jagai and Madhai have been accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's invited them to join the kirtan party at night and Shiva Sangam. And Shiva Sangam, of course, is a very private club. And to enter that club, one can only come by invitation. He has to be personally introduced and accepted, allowed into the club by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on his order, he said, yes, bring them, they can come in. So now this is a basic setting, if we can enter into the setting of the scene. We're in Mayapur. It's 500 years ago. It's Shiva Sangam, which is a few hundred meters from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house, Jagannath Mishra Bhavan. It's about 9 o'clock at night. There are about 200 devotees there inside the temple of Srivas Thakur. And there's been some conversations. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to everyone about this situation of who surrenders to him and who doesn't. This is text 317. Edu jera papihena na kari hamani. Edu jera papamuni dahiluna pane. Mahaprabhu told everyone gathered in Shiva Sangam. So Mahaprabhu is saying, listen everyone, do not consider Jagai Madhai as sinners, for I have personally burned their sinful reactions to ashes. So Mahaprabhu is saying, I have burned their sinful actions, reactions to ashes. So this sounds like Bhagavad Gita. The principle is Bhagavad Gita, but the actual example and Leela is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own activities. Because in Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Arjuna is sinless. What sins does he have to burn? He's Krishna's eternal associate. But here in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Jagai and Madhai, they certainly qualify as sinners, as papi. It says here, papihina, nakari hamane. Don't think that they're papis anymore. They're not, because I've taken all their sinful reactions. So the verses there in Gita, sarva dharman prityaja, mame kam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, says, aham, I take all their sins, I burn all their sins. I will do this for anyone who surrendered and accepted by me. So that's the principle, that's the philosophy, that's the siddhanta. So what's the example of it? What's the primary example? The primary example of Krishna personally taking on the sinful reactions is Jagai and Madhai. And we'll hear in the next chapter something about the extent of their sinful reactions, how voluminous they were and how unlimited their sins were. The Lord Chaitanya says, Sarva dehe munikaron bolon cholon kan tabe deha pata jabe muni chalijan. Mahaprabhu said, in the bodies of all living entities, it is I who make them act, speak, move, and eat. When I leave a body, the body dies. Je dehe alpa duke Jiva Daka Chade Munibina Se Deya Parila Nanade. Living entity cries out if he feels a little distress. But if I am not present in the body, it will not even move when it's burned. Whatever's here, the Lord is saying, I'm actually the controller of the body and the mover of the body. Tabe Jeji Veraduka Kari Ahankar Munikaran Palan Bali Paya Mahamar. But the living entity's distress is due to false ego. He suffers miseries because he claims, I am the doer, I am the speaker. Eteke jateke kaila, edui jane, karilana ame guchai, lama apane. The activities done by Jagai and Madhai were actually done by me, and I have released them from reactions. There's the cause of course, the desire was the living entities, but the ability to fulfill the desires arranged by God. So it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to perform sinful activities, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed sinful activities, or God or the Super Soul. The living entity, that's his independence, his desire. He has the independence to desire rightly or correctly or incorrectly. But then the facility and the ability to carry out that desire, the sensual power, the power of movement, the power of acting, is all coming from God. It's his machine. Yantra Radhani Mahaya. This body's a yantra. And all we can do is, it's like the, you make the program, but the computer carries it out. So the hardware, or let's say, the hardware is Krishna, the software is the jiva. we desire, but okay, when you have software, you have a software program, but without a computer, it can't run, isn't it? So you have desire, but without a body, you can't fulfill it. So the body is Krishna. He's adjusting the food, he's making it move, he's doing everything. Iha jani edu jera sakala vaishnav dekiba abhira drishti jena tumi sabha. All of you Vaishnavas understanding this fact, you should see Jagai and Madai as one of you and not discriminate against them. Of course, it's very interesting. He's saying that sakala vaishnava deki abhira drishti. Abhira drishti. Abhira drishti. Chinti abhira abhira tattva. There's no difference between they and you. And of course, in terms of Varnashram Dharma, that's the fact. Jagai and Madai, although by actions, their actions, they devolved to the lowest position in life. They were acting lower than Chandalas, or even lower than Yavanas and Mlechas. But by birth, they were Brahmins. They were Nadia Brahmins, Jagannanda and Madhavananda. So they were already one with the assembly of Vaishnavas in Shiva's Angam, because everyone in Shiva's Angam was a Brahmin, practically without exception, except maybe Mari Gupta, but he may be a Brahmin also. Gupta is generally considered to be Vaishya. Mari Gupta, he was a Vaidya, but he's very learned in Sanskrit, as many Vaidyas are, and usually they're Brahmins. But if you look at the name list, the party, the club member list, in Shiva Sangam, Gadadhar Pandit, Jagannanda Pandit, Gangadas Pandit, Kolaveshwar Sridhar, he's also Brahmin. Everyone's a Brahmin. Of course, Nityananda, he's also Brahmin. Hadai Pandit is his father. Hadai Pandit is the father of Nitai. So he's Avadhut, but he's Brahmin by Varna. So they're already all one. But these Brahmins, of course, in this particular case with Jagai Madai, they weren't saying that they're also Brahmins. They were saying they're Dvijabandhu, they're fallen Brahmins. They're so sinful. Lord Chaitanya is saying, now they're one with you because they're sinless. You're also sinless. You're my Parishads. You're all my eternal associates here in Shiva Sangam. So now I've accepted all their sins, so they're pure. I have purified them. So because possibly Mahaprabhu detected some doubt. He detected some doubt in their mind that they're thinking, are we sure we want to mix up with these two? Maybe if we look at them, we'll lose our caste. Because previously, before this acceptance of Mahaprabhu, if anyone would look at Jagai and Madai, they would jump in the Ganga. So now when they would see Jagai and Madai before, they would jump in the Ganga to purify themselves. They're so contaminated. And even if they, by chance, if the shadow of Jagai and Madai passed on anyone, they would also jump in the Ganga and then go home and change their clothes and chant all kinds of mantras, if they were simply touched by the shadow, the chaya. So they already had these kind of preconceived conceptions in their mind that these two personalities are not really gentlemen. They're the most contaminated personalities in Navadvipa. So now Lord Chaitanya is saying, they're one with us. They'd be thinking, well, you're saying that, but I have some reservations in this regard. So Lord Chaitanya is trying to dispel that. Now he's repeating this concept in the next verse. Shune agya mora jehao amar e dujera sharakari e divahara. Ananta brahmandam haje jata maravas vaise sehaya krishna ramoke dile preme rase. If you really belong to me, then listen to my order. Agyamora hayamara. If you, whatever you faithfully give to these two, Jagai and Madai, to eat, will be equal to offering with love to Krishna's mouth all the honey available in innumerable universes. Shuna e agyamora e javamara e du jera shradhakari e diva ahar. Ananta brahmanda maje e maru aise se haya Krishna ramukhe dile preme rase. So now he's trying to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to drive home the point and thoroughly convince everyone in Shiva Sangam of the bona fides of Jagai Madai. It's one thing to accept them as one amongst us, or to accept Jagai Madai as equal to us. But now he's saying not only are they equal to us, they're even better than us. He's saying if you offer food to their mouths, I mean, previously their mouths were smelling like whiskey. They were drunk till you get anywhere near them and their mouth would be smelling like whiskey and liquor and alcohol. And just to, if their breath, because you, if you're within breath of someone, then you're exchanging karma with them. If someone's breathing on you, you're sitting on a bus and they're breathing on you, you're getting karma. It goes to this extent in Padma Puran. So no one wanted to get anywhere near their breath. So now the Mahaprabhu is saying that if you offer some food to Jagai Madai, that will be equal to bhoga offering to Krishna. You offer a chapati. If you just offer a chapati to Jagai Madai, that will be equal to offering all the honey in the entire universe to Krishna. And that's a lot of honey. And that's a lot of sweetness. And so this is an extreme exaggeration on one sense, but it's not exaggeration, it's a fact. How much transforming power that Jagai and Madai have. Now their mouths are, you know, the repository of all mercy and all blessings. It's really, and then now it goes on. Lord Chaitanya is really trying to show that how contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Chaitanya Dvaya, Mayapur Chandra Dvaya, how contact with the compassionate Golden Lord of Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how powerful it is. If he glances at one, or if he contacts one, or if he blesses one, or if he accepts one into his fold of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, how they become so powerful and so transformed. If you offer a chapati to the mouth of Jagai, that is equal to offering all the honey, collecting all the honey in the universe and offering it to the mouth of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu is saying that Jagai's mouth has now become Krishna's mouth. The Jagadananda Das has now become Jagadananda. Madhavananda Das has now become Madhavananda, Bhagavan Madhavananda. It's a name for Bhagavan. So that's very interesting. So now he wants to make the point even more in the next verse by saying, Ejujera upata matra dibeje jana tarase krishnera muke maru samarpana. Anyone who gives these two, Jagai and Madai, a small portion of food, gives honey to the mouth of Krishna. Krishna relishes foodstuffs through the mouths of his devotees. Devotees do not enjoy any material object like non-devotees do. Since devotees offer everything to the Lord and constantly remain in the service of accepting his remnants, if someone gives a small portion of food to a devotee of the Lord, then it amounts to offering sweetmeats to Krishna. He dui janere je kariba parihas. He dujer aparadi taras sarva nash. Mahabhu goes on to extol Jagai Madai. If anyone ridicules Jagai Madai, he'll be ruined as a result of that offense. Anyone who considers the previous sinful activities or those in the future consider Jagai Madai sinful, consider them sinful, they will commit offenses at Jagai Madai's feet and bring about their own ruination. Shuniya Vaishnavagan Kande Mahaprem Jagai Madai Pratikari Parinhame. On hearing Mahaprabhu's words, Vaishnavagan, all the devotees cried in ecstatic love. Kande Mahapreme. Great love, Mahapreme. Then they all offered obeisances to Jagai Madai. Naturally. Before they would run away from them and jump in the Ganga and chant Vishnu, 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 Shiva, 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 Shiva. If they would see them. And now, oh, I never realized who they are. Now Lord Chaitanya is saying these things. Now they're all offering obeisances so they can start a new relationship with them and free themselves from any bad feelings they may have had. Prabhupada Shuna Sava Bhagavata Gan Chala Save Jai Bhagi Ratira Charan. So nice the terms they use. Vaishnav Gan, Bhagavat Gan, Vaishnav Mandal, Bhakta Gan. These are all different terms they use in Bengali to describe the assembly of Vaishnavas. Vaishnav Gan, Bhagavat Gan, like this. Then the Lord said, listen, devotees, let us all go to the Ganga. Sarvagana Sahita Takura Vishambhar Padila Janavi Jale Vanamaladhar. Accompanied by all his associates and wearing a garland of forest flowers, Vishambhar entered the waters of the Ganga. Kirtana Anande Jata Bhagavata Gan Shishupraya Chanchal Charitra Charita Sarvakshan. Due to the ecstasy of kirtan, all the devotees constantly behave like restless young boys. Kirtan Anande Bhagavat Gan Shishupraya Chanchal Charitra Sarvakshan. At every moment, at all times, Chanchala Charitra. Their behavior was extremely chanchal. What type of chanchal? Shishu Kumar Agrawal. Right? Shishu Kumar. Shishu. So Shishu Praya. Chanchal Charitra. They're like children, like Shishu. Shishu means 5 years old, 4 years old. This is all pandits and Brahmins and grown-ups. Mahabhavya Brita Sabha Seya Shishumati E Matahaya Vishnu Bhaktira Shakati. Although they are all greatly learned and matured, Bridha, Mahabhavya, Mahabhavya Brita Sabha, they behave like young boys. This is the potency of devotional service to Vishnu. Vishnu Bhakti Shakti. So this word Mahabhavya means endowed with the finest etiquette. In other words, having the qualities required to live in a society of cultured persons, civilized and sober. So this is the type of personalities that we're describing. They're extremely cultured and dhira, sober, self-controlled, mature, learned and pure, wise. But now they're Shishupraya, Chanchala Charitra. They've abandoned all this decorum of rigidity of culture, and they're acting like children. Children aren't very cultured. Children aren't very peaceful or self-controlled. So, and why is that? Because this is the effect of bhakti. Ulas. Premulas. This is the ladini, alad. Aladini. Bhakti is aladini in Samvit. So Alad means a joy. Pralad, Prakrishnarena Aladana. So Pralad Maharaj, he's joyful. His father's trying to kill him, and he's dancing. His father's throwing him off a cliff and putting him under elephants, and he's doing notch. He's just dancing, though, and chanting and meditating on Vishnu. Because this is Vishnu Bhakti Shakti. Vishnu Bhakti Shakti. This is the power of Vishnu Bhakti. One becomes impervious to the onslaughts of material nature. You see, Srila Prabhupada, when he was here, and in 1976, we were in Los Angeles, and in the morning they would allow some of the devotees to accompany Prabhupada and the sannyasis on morning walk. And Prabhupada was 80 years old at the time, 1976, it was in June, Los Angeles. He was walking so fast on the beach, faster than we were walking today. And effortlessly, not like, he was laughing and speaking, and we were 24 years old at the time. And we're running and running. Keep up with Prabhupada. I could only think of the Krishna book, because we were so much reading Krishna book in the early days about Kalyavana. When, what was it, Shishupal was attacking, or Jarasan. Jarasan was attacking Mathura 17 times, and then he had one of his allies was Kalyavana. So Kalyavana was chasing after Krishna, running full speed, and Krishna and Balaram were just walking and looking at the scenery, and Kalyavana says, wait, stop, you cowards, you're retreating, you're Ranchorji. You coward, you're retreating, turn around and fight, I'm challenging you. And they were just, Krishna said to Balaram, did you hear something, someone saying something? I don't know, I didn't hear anything. Did you? And they were just walking nonchalantly down the pathway, and he said, stop. And then they walked up a hill into a cave, and in that cave Muchakunda was sleeping. Muchakunda was a great emperor of the earth who was interfacing with the demigods and networking. Muchakunda was networking with the demigods and helping them in their battles against the demons. He was quite proficient in warfare. So he was retiring there, spending his retirement years in a cave, sleeping. And this story, he got woken up and he burned up Kalyavana. So I always think of that Prabhupada is walking so nonchalantly down the beach, and I'm Kalyavana. I'm Kalyavana. I'm the demon chasing after him. Wait. But somehow or other he didn't vanquish me. He accepted me. Of course I was qualified. I was a Yavana. Kalyavana. So they're behaving like boys. Ganga snara mahotsavai kirtanera sheshe prabhu britya buddhi gela anande aveshe. In the festival of taking bath in the Ganga, so this is, even taking a bath is a festival. It says the spiritual world, Brahma Samhita says that every step is a dance. The water tastes like nectar. And so every word is a gun, every word is a song. So the bath is a festival. When you go in the morning in the shower, you don't consider that when I go into the bathroom, I'm going to a festival. The utsav, it says utsav, it doesn't say utsav, it says maha utsav. And they put, it's a sundi, so when you combine the two words, it becomes mahotsav. Maha Utsav, because Mahotsav, a grand festival of singing, dancing, prasadam, joy, ulas, Ganga Snan Mahotsave, Kirtanena Shesh. In the festival of taking bath in the Ganga after Kirtan, so they had this is the nocturnal Kirtans in Shiva Sangam. And they had the Kirtan, then they concluded, Lord Chaitanya was preaching about the glories. Okay, we've accepted. Srivasa, we're accepted here. I allowed him to come here and to our holy assembly, and we've all engaged in kirtan and dancing together. And now it's kirtan shesh. The kirtan is concluded. Now I want to give some closing remarks on this particular portion of our lila. So sunye, everyone. Sakala Vaishnav, sunye. Listen, everyone. Jagai and Madai are like this. Everyone's like, all right, that's confirmed. It's one thing you accepted him amongst us, to chant amongst us, because we go on the streets of the cities and we do sankirtan, we accept the drunks. So now they're fully accepted into the kirtan. Now Lord Chaitanya is certifying them with his words and giving them a very exalted. And then all the devotees, in mass, 200 devotees, immediately offered obeisances to Jagai and Madai, to show their acceptance. They are humbly submitting. All these great pundits and learned scholars and pure Vaishnavas of the Navadvipa Vaishnav Mando, they're all falling in the dust. To pay obeisances to someone means to fall in the dust of their feet. That means namaha, no ego. I give up my ego before you. I accept your position. So this is what they've done. And now Lord Chaitanya says, now this has been established, and we've been dancing together, so we're somewhat fatigued, and maybe we're so much perspiration, we need some relief. So they went to the Ganga, and they took a bath there, and that bath was a great utsav, Ganga Snan Mahotsavi. They were so overwhelmed with ecstasy that they forgot who was the Lord and who were the servants. So this is the equality. Where the Britya says the Prabhu Britya Buddhi Gela Ananda Yavesh. They were so much absorbed in bliss, the bliss of devotion, the communion. This is the art of divine communion, where the love melts the differences. The power of love melts the differences between two. The two become one by the power of love. So this is not only two become one, but the many become one. Eko Bahu Sham. Mahaprabhu is, his love has, he's distributed his love to Jagai Madai. And now they become accepted. And now the Britya means the servant, and the Prabhu means the master. But now everyone has lost any idea that, oh, there's Mahaprabhu and we're Prabhus, or you're a Prabhu and he's the Mahaprabhu. No, we're all, the love being exchanged here and the love being distributed here has homogenized the whole assembly into one unit. It's simply an expression, a collective expression of Mahaprabhu's prema, Mahaprem. So it's such a beautiful example of community based on the principle of universal love, spiritual love, the dynamism of spiritual energy. To integrate and harmonize all the individuals into one beautiful organic unit. This is an amazing verse. Everyone was so overwhelmed with ecstasy, Ananda Vesha, absorbed in ecstasy, they forgot who was the Lord and who were the servants. This is Prem Vivart. Prem Vivart. Vivart, Vivarta, transformation, change. They're bewildered in love. There's no high or low. Now that's the consciousness, that's the feeling that they had. So that's what Vrindavan Das Thakur is observing in his Lila Spurti and his Lila Samadhi, writing all this. And then, so he's saying that this is the feeling, this is the consciousness. But now how do they express this feeling, or how do they express this consciousness of unity and oneness? And then he explains that here. This is how they express that. Jaladeya Prabhu Sara Vaishnavera Ghai Keha Nahi Pare Sabe Hariya Palai. When the Lord splashed water on the Vaishnavas, no one could compete with him. They all retreated in defeat. So now they just start playing in the water. This is the utsav. The utsav, first of all, to experience an utsav or a festival, there must be a state of mind and heart. If the state of mind and heart are not adjusted, there can be no experience of an utsav. As they say, sometimes people go on a vacation. You spend a lot of money to go to a very exotic, faraway place. But if our mind is disturbed and agitated, we'll go to a faraway place, a beautiful place like Bali or Cebu Beach in the Philippines, and we'll be totally in hell because our mind is agitated. Our mind is disturbed. So there can't be any festival. There can't be any enjoyment there. So the internal adjustment, the mind and heart must be in a joyful mood. Ananda avesh. Ananda avesh. So if the heart and mind are absorbed in bliss, then that's the substratum. That's the substratum of experiencing a festival. Right? But the mind and heart are full of anxiety and full of disturbance and full of unhappiness. There's no festival. No matter how much music you have, no matter how much dance or whatever, it's impossible to experience a festival. So it says they're in the Ganga and they're having a festival. And Mahaprabhu is splashing water on the devotees. Jalad judha kari prabhu jara jara sange katakshana judhi kari sabedhe bange. All the devotees who were engaging in water fights with Lord Chaitanya retreated after fighting for some time. Shana kele advaita gauranga nityananda shana kele haridasa shivasa mukunde. Sometimes Advaita, Gauranga, and Nityananda sported together. Sometimes Haridas, Shivas, and Mukunda sported. So this is all names of the great devotees of the Lord, the eternal associates of the Lord. And we see how playful their exchanges are. And this is the nature. It's the word Leela. We say Leela, Ram Leela, Krishna Leela. Of course, Ram Leela has some playful moments. But really, the word Leela, it means play. It means drama. A dramatic enactment of play, of joy. And all kinds of varieties. Joy can be expressed in union, and joy can also be expressed and experienced in union. And joy can also be expressed and experienced in separation. It's a different flavor of joy. So here, this is the Lord and his devotees. It seems like it's a very human-like activity. This is called Naralila, sporting like human beings. Mahaprabhu's in the Ganga, his associates are there, and it's nighttime. They're bathing under the moonlight. They've been dancing in the kirtan party in Shivas Pandit's house, and then they feel some fatigue, so they go in the Ganga, and they're bathing in the Ganga, and the moon is shining, and it says Shishu Praya. They were like children. They're just like children. Shishu Praya. They're feeling like children, almost like children. Oh, they're all adults, cultured Brahmins of Nadia, Navadvip, West Bengal. Well, they're just splashing water in the Lord. He's splashing water in them. He splashed so much water they had to retreat. They could not. It's like Jalkeli. It says Jalkeli Yuddha. Like Yuddha means fighting. It's a water fight. Not a serious fight. No one lost any arms or legs. There was no blood. There was no wounds. Joy. Like sometimes husbands and wives fight, but that's not considered, heavyweight boxing. It could be, I suppose. but that's called Prem Kalaha. It's called lover's quarrel. Prem Kalaha. In fact, in Jagannath Mandir, it's described that the king of Puri, the Gajapati Maharaj, that's about 500 years ago, he went to war with a neighboring kingdom. And he defeated that king in battle. The kings are always doing these things. And so he brought back some... that king was a Vaishnava, and he had a deity of Sakshi Gopal. So that actually is Radhakant. The deity of Radhakant. So he bought that deity back of Radhakant, and he placed the deity of Radhakant in the Jagannath Mandir and Puri, Jagannath Puri, Radhakant. Just Krishna. Krishna's name is Radhakant. There was no Radharani, just Krishna, the lover, Radhakant, lover of Radha. Krishna, the lover of Radha. So the deity was, Radhakant was there, and Jagannath is there. And they're making bhog offerings, Balya Bhog, so many. Rasgulla, rubbery, kheer. para, rub all these things.
And then
what was happening is when the plate, when the bhog thali was put down in front of the Lord, then Radhakant ate all the sweets very fast, fatafat, ate everything. And Jagannath wasn't getting anything. So then Jagannath appeared in a dream with a head pujari. Head pujari came in a swapna. I said, listen, you bought this new guy over here. There's this new lord here, this Radhakant. And he's eating up all the sweets. It doesn't leave me a morsel. So can you please make some adjustment? So then the king, the head pujari had this dream and so did the king. So they adjusted the deity in the Raj Guru's house. The Raj Guru is Kashi Mishra. His house is still there in Puri. We just came from Puri. You can visit his house and see that deity of Radhakant. So this is an example of the Lord's play and that was an example of Prema Kalaha. There was a lover's quarrel between Jagannath and Radhakant. They couldn't get along, so they had to live separately, which happens sometimes, even amongst lovers, they have to live separately. So this is the Lord's play. He's playing in the water. Then he describes all the different groups of devotees are playing together. So these are more devotees. Sri Garva, Sri Sadashiva, Murari, Shiman, Purushottam Mukunda, Sanjay, Budhimanta Khan, Vidyanidhi Gangadasa Jagadishanam, Gopinatha Haridasa Guruda Shri Ram, Govinda Shridhara Krishnananda Kashishvara, Jagaranda Govaranda Ananda Shri Shukumbara, Ananta Chaitanya Britya Katajani Nam, Veda Vyasa Haite Vyakta Haibe Puran. So these are names of all the devotees that were engaging in this water sports. Anyonye Sarvajana Jalakele Kare Parananda Rase Keha Jini Keha Hare. All the Vaishnavas sported in the Ganga with one another in the mellows of ecstatic love. Some were conquered and some were defeated. Garadhara Gaurange Milia Jala Kele Nityananda Advaite Kela Ye Donhe Mili. Garadhara and Gauranga engaged in water sports together. Nityananda and Advaita also sported in the water together. Advaita Nayana Nityananda Kutuhali Nirghatte Maria Jal Dila Mahabali. The powerful Nityananda sportingly splashed water with great force into the eyes of Advaita. Dui Chakshu Advaita Mileti Nahipare Mahakrodha Veshe Prabhu Galagali Pare. Advaita could not open his eyes, so in great anger he abused Nityananda. This is Naralila. People get angry. God gets angry. His devotees get angry. But the substratum of all the interactions is love, prema. There's no violence, there's no destruction, there's no debilitation, there's no separation. There's just different flavors and nuances of union and loving exchanges. And all these are just flavors of love. If you eat a meal, they simply put a plate of plain rice in front of you, it's rather boring. And they put some pickle and some chili and sabji and all this, that, all these different things. Everything's on the thali. Everything's fixed and held up by the thali. That's the foundation of the meal. So the foundation of the spiritual relationships and exchanges is pure love. Because the foundation, when some of the attributes of that pure loving foundation of the spiritual relationships and exchanges is that everyone has mutual gratitude. Every single member of the spiritual community, every single man, woman, child, etc., has complete gratitude for each other. They're grateful to one another, and they have full appreciation for one another, and they encourage one another, and they have full respect for one another. There's no competition. There's no envy. Because where there's pure love, there's no room for envy. Envy is due to selfish interest. Think about it. Envy is due to selfish interest. But where there's pure love, the pure love means your interest is the interest of the other. This is art. Dharma art kam moksha. The real meaning of art Dharma, art, kam, moksha. Art means interest, wealth, value, interest. Usually it's self-interest, me and mine. Like sometimes they say in the marriage, the husband works and the wife works. So the wife meets the husband and she says, listen, you're earning. So your money is my money and my money is my money. She's working and he's working. But she tells the husband, your money is my money and my money is... And he says, what about your money? And my money is my money. It's all mine. And if you're nice to me, I'll give you something. But the spiritual world is of a different order. It's like we have these two concepts in the material world is selfless and self-forgetful. What's the difference between selfless and self-forgetful? I'll give you an example. Someone may be a humanitarian. They like to do good things. Maybe they're wealthy people. They like to give in charity and build schools or hospitals or freely distribute wealth or land or food or different substances to help the underprivileged or the poorer people in the society. So people sometimes they say, oh, he's a selfless worker. Or like Mother Teresa, she was recognized as a great... Even people say she was a saint. They gave her the Catholic Church. They elevated her to the status of saint. Like in England. In England, if you're a wealthy person and you donate lots of money to the government, then they will give you a title. Lord. Lord Brockway. Lord whatever, Jetland. So it's not that you're very lordly. It's just that you lorded it over lots of wealth. And if you actually donate a certain amount of money to the British government, they will give you a title. You can buy that title. You can become Lord. If you have enough money, you become God, right? Money is God. So in this case, the church awarded her the title Saint, Saint Teresa. So she was working tirelessly and day and night in what one would call selfless, helping people, and it's meritorious activities, very good things she was doing. But she was not self-forgetful. She was always... Someone may be selfless and they're helping people, but they don't forget who they are. She always knew she was Saint Teresa. In fact, you know, she was also finding some pleasure in being recognized as saint and taking some relish in the fame, name and fame of being who she was and what she did. And she always knew who she was and that I'm a Christian welfare worker and surrendered person for humanity. She could never lose her individual identity. So this, because oftentimes when people, and this not taking someone else, they're doing some selfless activity, there's also some motivation or some recognition or some name or fame, pratishtata. But in self-forgetful, the category of self-forgetful, this is not to be found in the material world. No one can be so absorbed in serving another person that they totally forget themselves. The example of this is the Braja Gopis, the Gopis of Vrindavan, Krishna's Sakis. They actually have, the Acharyas describe their quality as totally self-forgetful. They don't remember their name, their identity, their social position, their varna, their ashram. They don't remember if it's day or night or whether they're dressed or not dressed. They're so much totally absorbed in the happiness and pleasure of Krishna from moment to moment that they've lost any sense of self. There's no more self. They become tadatmika with Krishna. And this is the fullest expression of pure love. So this is actually, in Braja Gokul, in Vrindavan, this is the land of self-forgetfulness. Everyone has forgotten themselves, immersed in the happiness of Krishna. So therefore, this is the only plane of existence where you can find play. This is the only plane of existence where you can find the true meaning of play. So what we're hearing here, we'll close because the class is over now, how that they're playing, and Nityananda has splashed water in the eyes of Advaita, and he's become angry, and he's abusing him. And what does he say to Nityananda? He says, Nityananda madhyape karila chakshukan kotahaite madhyapera haila upastan. Advaita said, this drunken Nityananda has made me blind and deaf. From where has this drunkard come? This fellow has obstructed my power of vision and made me blind by splashing water in my eyes. Who has brought this drunkard here? So this is Prem Galaha. And then Shivas Thakur, who is the host, this is all, he has actually invited Nityananda to come to this kirtan. And after the kirtan, there was Ganga snan, they're bathing in a Ganga, and there's all this jal keli splashing. So then Advaita turns to Shivas. There, of course, is all going on in the Ganga. He says, Shivas pandit tera mule jati nai, kotakara avadute ani dhilatani. Shivas pandit does not belong to any caste. He brought this avadut Nityananda from somewhere and gave him a place to stay in his house. Because he was giving shelter. Nityananda was actually staying, because he is a sannyasi, a wandering mendicant. So he was, time to time, he was visiting and staying in the home of Shivas. So Advaita is criticizing Shivas. He criticizes drunk Nityananda, and then he criticizes his host. What is this? What kind of caste? You have no caste. You bring this avadut, you give him a place to stay. Sachira Nandana Chora, Eta Karma Kare, Niravadi Avaduta Samhati Vihade. And then he talks about Sachinandan. Sachinandan is Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya. This Sachinandan, he can do so much, yet he constantly enjoys the company of this avadut. Nityananda Bali Muke Nahi Vasalaj, Hari Le Apane Ara, Kandale Kiya Kaj. Nityananda replied, don't you feel embarrassed to speak like this, Advaita? You have been defeated in the water battle. So what is the use of quarreling now? And then he says, I've defeated you soundly in a water fight. Don't you feel ashamed? Moreover, now you're approaching me to have a quarrel and holding your head high in the air. Then it goes on, we'll continue tomorrow. So this is play. It's like a play. You see some drama and different people play. But this is it's very attractive, because you see the dynamics of the spiritual world. We're actually hankering for that dynamic, that experience and rasa, and ras and relationships in the material world, but everything is impenetrated with so many non-devotional feelings, so much envy, so much competition, so much anger. So that contaminates all the exchanges. So then we hear about these leelas, and then the idea of hearing these, of course, it's hearing about the Lord, about Bhagavan, is a purifying activity. But moreover, it creates a samskara, a karshan, sanskara, creates some attraction in our chitta, in our consciousness. We think, yes, there is a higher realm. It's a possibility of there's a higher realm, where there's a land of play, where every step is a dance, and every word is like poetry, and the water is like nectar. There's a plane of love. Because the inner hankering of everyone, the inner hankering of every human being is for heart's satisfaction. It's for fulfillment, heart's satisfaction. But we hanker, we try, and we fall flat. We don't find that place, that plane. So the Lord comes here, the Lord comes down. Avatar means descent, avatar, descent. He comes here to invite us to the plane of self-forgetfulness. Can you imagine forgetting? I mean, the only time that happens is here in this material world, somebody gets intoxicated on whiskey, then they forget. But they forget. They lose contact with the proper balance and bearings of reality, but still they don't forget their ego. If one's intoxicated in whiskey, he's absorbed in his ego. He's acting violently or he's acting foolishly, but he's the center of the action. He's acting out of a center. Even under intoxication, intense intoxication, he's acting out of a center of himself. He smashes the window, he crashes the car, he's doing it. And in some perverted way, because he's still acting out of his false ego or hunkar, he's deriving pleasure, tamasic pleasure from that intoxicated state. He's still in a position of mastership, even when he's intoxicated and seemingly forgetful. And next day, you say, oh, you broke this window. Oh, I don't remember that. I did that. Oh, I was drunk. I don't remember. So there's a certain kind of forgetfulness. Though he's not forgetting that he's a person and that I'm enjoying this intoxication. And at the moment, he may forget the next day, but the moment he's doing something, he's operating out of the center that I'm the enjoyer. I'm going to smash this window. Yeah, look at this. What is this? And then next day, you know, you broke this window. I did not do that. He'll deny it, completely deny it, and because he can't recall. The alcohol kind of dissolves his memory bank, corrupts his memory. So, but self-forgetful means that the other person, you become the other person. Yourself, you're just, you see in the Ras Lila, when Krishna left the gopis for some short time, they became so mad at Krishna's separation. One gopi said to another, I am Krishna. Just see how I walk. And they said, oh, gopis, this Indra, he's pouring rain over this Vrindavan. Quick, come on, I'm lifting Govardhan. Come under this shelter of Govardhan. They were completely, they merged themselves with Krishna's identity out of remembrance and service. So this spiritual world is so much of a different, it's, we have some vague idea of it in our core of our being, but we don't have touch. We can't touch it externally because we're in the material world. So these books are given us to create attraction to this higher dimension, where one lives completely for the pleasure of Krishna. But in that pleasure, in that life, we experience the full dimension of our inner hankering, the full experience of our inner hankering. Because every jiva is actually part of Krishna, his loving servitor of the Lord. So we'll continue tomorrow. Yes. Question is, what is the difference between this book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, by Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami? Chaitanya Charitamrita is the difference. There's several differences, but one difference is that Chaitanya Charitamrita concentrates more on the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, the sannyas lila, after he left Navadvip at the age of 24 and traveled around India and spent 18 years living in Jagannath Puri. Those lilas are more depicted there, which are all separation, virahabhav, and Radhabhav, Mahabhav. And Chaitanya Bhagavat is more the pastimes of the Lord in Navadvip for the first 24 years of his life. That's one main difference. It's the focus of his charitra. Another difference is that the Chaitanya Bhagavat is mostly pastimes, exchanges with the devotees, lots of behavioral exchanges, and showing model behavior in terms of preaching exchanges and exchanges amongst the eternal associates, loving dealings and exchanges, and some basic points of philosophy. But if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, practically every page is having kirtan rolling on the ground, crying, rolling on the ground, kirtan, crying, rolling on the ground, kirtan, crying, rolling on the ground. And it's like this. And then there's certain themes, recurring themes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And these themes, again, are related to the Vaishnav Mandal, Vaishnav Raja Sabha. These themes or these philosophical points are all given by Vrindavan Das Thakur. These particular points of philosophy or themes are given repeatedly by Vrindavan Das Thakur to improve the quality of relationships among Vaishnavas, to improve the quality of the Sangha among Vaishnavas in terms of achar. And one of the themes is to avoid Vaishnava Parad. So much discussion, because Vaishnava Parad, offending Sadhu Ninda, is a very prevalent activity because our core of our being is so much envious, so much envy there. Each Krishna tells in Gita, Icha Dvesha Smutena Dvanda Mahina Bharata, that the living entity takes birth in this material world due to desire and envy. So this envy is a perversion of pure love. The antithesis of love is envy. So envy causes division, envy causes conflict, envy causes argument, envy causes aparad. So this is always being addressed. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is discussing so much of prayojana tattva, prema tattva, and viraha prema, and very high siddhanta. The whole sambandha videya prayojana, gaudiya siddhanta, or the basic philosophical concepts from the relationship of Krishna, the identity of Krishna, and all the different tattvas is fully developed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vaishnava tattva, Nityananda tattva, Shakti tattva, Radha tattva, Prema tattva, and then the deepest expressions of Mahabhava and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki.